together. Father in heaven, we do thank you that we are built on a firm foundation, that firm foundation of Jesus Christ and his truth and his gospel and his salvation and forgiveness bought for us on the cross is timeless, it's truth personified, it's applicable to each and every one of our lives, and Lord, it's so powerful in a day where we wonder and we ask and we struggle, but Lord, we know that in the midst, you are there. So, Father, as we've gathered together this morning, whether it's virtual or in person, we just thank you that you are here among us. May your Spirit touch lives this morning. May we be able to celebrate after this Sunday is done with all that we're going to communicate today. So we thank you, Lord, for the way that you are moving in your church and how you're working in Village Green, and just the things that we can celebrate. And Lord, as this day unfolds, we pray that many will rejoice at what they hear. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to a really special Sunday. This is kind of a state of the church address. And, you know, we recognize that for, you know, over a year, we haven't really had church as most of us have been accustomed to. We've had to kind of pivot in very many ways and, you know, continue to be a church in some unique ways as well. So today we thought it would be really good just to give you an update on everything that's going on. Like, you know, you haven't seen a lot of people. You haven't had a, you know, we continue to give you a communication every week about what is happening. But we thought we would, you could just hear it from more than just myself, some of the things that are happening in this church, some of the things that I think you're going to really be excited about. I know I'm excited about all of this because, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening and the church is still doing the business of the church, if you want to put it that way, even though we met many, many challenges. And, you know, I think it goes without saying that for many of us, this past year has been an incredible challenge. You know, individually, it's been a challenge. As couples, it's been a challenge. As families, it has been a challenge. You know, when you think of institutions like, you know, education and, you know, businesses, it's been a huge challenge. But it's been a challenge for the church as well. And the church has had to, you know, adjust to the way that we normally did things. But I'm just really encouraged by what we're going to be able to share with you this morning. I think it's an important update for many of you. And some of you have just been listening to the church. Some of you, I know, have not really been part of this church. Like, you just started in the last number of months, started to listen online. And I think it'd be really exciting for you to hear what's happening at this church. Now, I thought before I introduce Al and we have our conversation and he gets to, you know, tell you all the fun stuff that is going on, I thought what I would do is remind you of some of the things that Jesus said about the church. Now, I don't know, you know, personally for me, this particular passage has kind of helped sustain me during this period of time. I think it's going to be a good reminder for many of us about what Jesus actually said about the church and why it is so important, especially in the context that Jesus said this about the church. And I think it's going to be a great reminder today about some of the things that maybe we've been doubting. I don't know if you've been doubting anything. I don't know if you've been, you know, struggling about some of the promises that God has made about the church. But I think this is a really important passage for us to acknowledge today. And I want to remind you, and hopefully it'll encourage you too, about the state of the church. And not just, the, you know, Village Green in particular, but the church overall around the world. So I want to read from Matthew 16. I'm going to read verses 13 to 19, and then I'm going to give you a number of highlights that come out of this passage before I call Al up. And hopefully, again, it's a great reminder for you about what Jesus said about the church. So beginning at verse 13, the passage reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah." Notice we just finished the study on Elijah, by the way, so that should resonate with you. And others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Now, those particular verses have kind of helped sustain me in the last year because they've been great reminders to me about what Jesus said about the church, about this institution that some people see in our culture and in our world. And the things that keep resonating in my mind when I read this passage are these four points that I want to remind us about this morning. Number one is our contextual reality. Our contextual reality. It is really one a very interesting point that Jesus gathered his disciples. They're going through a town, a region called Caesarea Philippi, and he makes this proclamation in this particular city, in this particular town. You know, it wasn't like he took them, you know, to Jerusalem, which is, you know, the heavenly city, the city that people would expect, you know, a major religious announcement to be made. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't even, like, have the temple in the background or anything like that. He comes to Caesarea Philippi, which is one of the most, overt pagan, you know, religious centers of the time. There's all kinds of different types of worship going on. There's all kinds of different temples to the emperor, temple to Zeus. There was a whole religion to Pan, you know, the god Pan, and there was so much sexual activity attached to many of these gods, especially the worship of Pan, that I can't even begin to, you know, illustrate some of those things that they did in that kind of thing. So lots of false gods and lots of, you know, human achievement that was celebrated in this particular city. It had all kinds of you know, visuals of the very best that humanity could give and the very worst that humanity could give, and the worst of idol worship and all kinds of stuff like that. So it was really kind of like a stark proclamation of Jesus' church being built in the midst of a place that you would never have expected it to be built. This is like the worst, you know, kind of, you know, fertile soil you could ever imagine for something that was a proclamation of one only God, a sacrifice for sin, you know, a sacrifice for forgiveness, something that we could not achieve on our own. It wasn't like a negotiation with other gods about how we're going to get along. This was an admittance that there was nothing that we could do that could placate, you know, the true God of the universe. And this was an incredible proclamation. And what really strikes me about this is that we can sometimes forget that the world that we live in isn't going to take over the church. That we have a contextual reality. Sure, things, you know, things might not be going the way we believe, or things may not be going in a way that helps the church work in this culture and society, or maybe we think there's attacks against the church in particular ways, but this is the context that we find ourselves. The context is very important to realize that no matter what, Christ Church is going to work. Christ Church is going to grow. That no matter what the context is, Jesus stated that he will build his church. And that's really important. And we can, you know, become very disappointed and disparaged by what's happening in our culture around us. But this is a haven. This is a safe haven, a community that is built despite what the culture is doing around us, and is built on Jesus Christ and him alone. And, you know, there was even, a spring that came up, and it was quite deep, and in the ancient world they couldn't figure out the depth of it, so they actually called it the gate to Hades, the gates of hell. And that's kind of what Jesus is alluding to, that not even the powers of hell are going to be able to stop what Jesus is doing. And again, the background of this would have been really striking. They would have looked around the disciples and said, even here in a place like this, that everything about this place is against you, is going to be against you, is going to, do everything to break it down. And Jesus says, even here. And here's the second thing that comes out of it. Our singular mission. We talk so much about there's lots of things that the church does, but the fact of the matter is we have a singular mission, and the singular mission is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim forgiveness, to proclaim salvation in his name, to actually, demonstrate how our lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ, and to communicate that. Hell in this particular context, many could argue, it points to a particular spring, but it's also a metaphor for death. And Jesus talks about not even death is going to be able to conquer, to do away with what Jesus is going to bring into the world. And that's our singular mission. Sometimes, as I've said, sometimes we can get so caught up in all these other things that the church does that are really important. They help to build community. They help to build discipleship. They help to build all this kind of stuff. But we don't do it as a social club. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our singular focus, our singular mission. And that's what's really important. And Jesus, he's asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And a few of them, gave certain suggestions. But it's Peter's confession that's really important. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And through Jesus, is life. Through Jesus is life eternal. Through Jesus is salvation. Through Jesus is forgiveness. Through Jesus is spiritual healing and hope and promise and all of those things. And that's our singular mission. And we're reminded of that. And, I've got to tell you, lockdown or not, we haven't lost our singular mission. We may have lost how we've been doing our singular mission, but nothing has taken away our singular mission during this time. Nothing. That's still of primary importance. Here's number three, our humble makeup. I love this. Of all people that Jesus points to and said, Peter of all people, and Peter, I love him as a disciple, but there are times that he kind of got in the way, and I'm really encouraged by the overzealous nature of Peter, and sometimes he would have a low point, and sometimes he had really high points, but this is one of his high points, where he makes this powerful confession. But what reciprocates in all of that is what Jesus says to him. He says, Peter, you're going to have a hand in building this church and building this kingdom. Someone like you. And if you remember the story of Peter, three times denied Christ at the crucifixion. But it didn't end there. Jesus, in the end of the Gospel of John, calls Peter back to ministry and kind of reinstates him and said, remember what I said about you? Remember what we talked about, that you would have a significant role to play in the kingdom? And that was just really exciting to hear. And, for anybody in church ministry, or anybody that loves the church and loves you know, the kingdom of God and loves to see the church thrive, it can be a really daunting task and be very overwhelming. But the reality is that simple people like us, you know, ordinary everyday people, are part of building the kingdom of God. And that is so exciting. That is absolutely exciting that God uses, you know, everyday people in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of their whatever difficulties, in the midst of life, in the midst of, you know, a pandemic, to move the kingdom of God forward. And for those disciples to hear that the kingdom was, they were going to have a significant role to play in the kingdom, I think is just exciting for each and every one of us. Because there's a time where many of us think, you know, I'm not going to make a difference. It's not important, you know, what I do. You know, is good ever going to win over, you know, evil? And is all those kinds of things that we can get wrapped up in. But the fact of the matter is God uses everyday people like us to make a difference in this world. And that's important to acknowledge. It's great, a great recognition. And generation to generation, you know, if you've studied church history at all, you know that from the very beginning, there have been faithful people who have built the kingdom of God. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and the church is just as strong as ever. In fact, I would even, you know, you may not agree with this, I think the church is even stronger than it's ever been in the midst of all of this. Because for the majority of churches, they're demonstrating what's at the core of why they exist in the first place. And I think that's an important thing for us to acknowledge today. Here's number four. And basically what I just said really lends into number four, our enduring legacy. Like, there isn't an end date for the church, only what God ordains in the end of time, you know. The church is going to be built. Jesus didn't give it an end date. Jesus didn't say, unless all these other things happen. This is an enduring legacy that Jesus has left behind, this thing called the church. And by the way, if you're part of the study group that's doing the book of Acts on Monday nights, you know, that we have with the study, you're going to hear some of this stuff being demonstrated within the book of Acts, because it's such an important part of what Jesus left behind and what the disciples, you know, took as the message of Christ and went into the world. But we have an enduring legacy. Our legacy is so vitally important as we build into the next generation, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and build the church from there. You know, over, you know, you can go to Caesarea Philippi today, and what you get is ruins. What you basically get is ruins. But the church that Jesus proclaimed is still standing, even though the city that he made the proclamation in is a historical site, and none of those gods or emperors exist today. But the church of Jesus Christ exists and continues to exist and will exist long after every one of us is gone. Now, I hope those four things have encouraged you. I hope they've, you know, reminded you about some really important stuff about the church. And I want to now invite Al Vanderland to come and join me this morning with our, you know, interview on a lot of things that we want to talk about this morning. For many of you, if you don't know, this is Al Vanderland. He's the chair of our board of directors here at Village Green. And, you know, before we go any farther, I need to embarrass him because I feel the necessity to do that. Amen. Al, along with many other people, is one of the reasons I've lasted here as long as I have, to be honest. We have a great leadership team here. Al, as part of our board of directors, is one of the reasons that, you know, this church continues to be you know, very well run, with great leadership, great direction, It's really a privilege to work with him. It was even a privilege. We see Robert Pereira's here. He's the chair of the board prior to you. Okay? So we've had a legacy of great leadership here. And, you know, whether it's the elders, I want to, you know, do a shout out to the elders. The elders are just incredible here at this church. Great to work with. And even the staff. I've had the privilege over a number of years to work with great staff. And we have a great staff right now, too. So I have to say, first and foremost, out of the gate, we have a great leadership team here at Village Green, and I think we need to acknowledge that. So thank you, Al, for your leadership. Really appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And I would echo those comments about our team, about the board of directors and the elders and our staff for sure, and then also for you, for your leadership. You make it easy, and we appreciate your leadership of us and shepherding of us as a church and in the midst of all these difficulties over this past year, just the way that you've led us. And so, you know, thank you as well.
Yeah, we all work well together, you know, all of our teams. And that's right from the get-go, I want to make that really clear. Not every church has that opportunity to work as well as we do without, you know, difficult conflict that we can't resolve. So, you know, we're very thankful of that. So, Al, you know, kind of like begin our conversation. Back in January, we had a leadership visioning day. And, you know, we felt it was really important. Now why was it necessary that we have that particular meeting?
Well, I think, Pastor, it was just so important that throughout this past year, our ministry has changed. And the way we need to do things, the way we reach people, the way, the way church is functioning right now is different. So we wanted to have a meeting, and it was our board of directors, our elders, our staff, and we all came together and wanted to, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, figure out what is the way forward, how is ministry going to look like in this next year, this next 3 years, the next 5 years, and what are the changes we need to anticipate going forward? So,
yeah.
And it was a fantastic morning. It was over Zoom, but we really felt a sense of unity, I think. And, you know, I was very encouraged by that time and just the way that we were able to, look towards the future and look towards what God is going to do.
Yeah, so, you know, that was what was really encouraging for me. It wasn't like we were, how do we retreat? You know, how do we, you know, put up the fences, all of that kind of stuff. It was all about moving forward. How do we best do that? How do we best, you know, continue the ministry and do it in an effective way? And it was a really encouraging morning, far more. And I was surprised at the amount of unity that we had, even though I should not have been surprised, but it was just beautiful to see the unity that we had. Now, out of that meeting, there were two focus areas that we thought we needed to focus on.
Yeah, so there was two areas, and it was, again, one of those God moments where we went into it, you know, preparing for it, whatnot, looking for three areas, and pretty much across the board, these are the two areas that we feel God is asking us to focus on this year. And those two areas were discipleship and community, which is maybe some of the hardest things to do when you can't get together and be in person. So, but it just shows the importance of what we are doing and, you know, that, you know, without having those opportunities to get together, to make a concerted effort to focus on those areas.
Yeah, interesting, because they are, you know, discipleship is probably the hardest thing that the church has to do. Even if we were meeting all the time, because discipleship is not a one-size-fits-all process. You know, we all grow differently, and we try to create environments and stuff for people to grow at their pace and their own rate. And, you know, that's why life groups in this particular context is so important. But the second thing, again, was community. How do you build community at a time where, you know, getting together is limited? And yet it's probably an important component for people to feel connected to a church. connected to, a body of believers, because that's where you feel you're contributing to something greater than yourself. Those are two very, very difficult things, but we collectively said those two are enough. Those two are going to be difficult, and those two are the things that we need to focus for the remainder of the year. And I think that's just really good in having that. And because many people are online right now, you can go anywhere and get good teaching. Okay, let's face it. You can go anywhere and get really good Bible teaching. There's tons of places you can go. That's not what's attracting people to church. Okay? That's just not, and that's a reality. It's the community that you're a part of is really, really important. Do you feel loved here? Do you feel safe here? Can you connect with other people here? All of those kinds of things. So we're trying to work at building those communities and stuff like that. And again, if you're part of that community, how do we grow you deeper in Christ? And that's part of the discipleship thing that we're really getting excited about too, and finding new ways of doing that. So are there ways that we're looking to focus?
So one of the ways that we've already sort of announced is with Ben Brown as part of our taking over the leadership of our youth ministry. And we are very excited by Ben being back from BC and taking over that ministry. As well, with the youth, we are looking at developing a partnership with YFC here in London. YFC has been looking to expand some of what they've been doing, and especially in this area of town, and have started we've started reaching out with them to figure out what that partnership might look like. So that's, I'm excited by. They reach out.
Yeah, we've had a couple of meetings already with Youth for Christ, and they're really excited about using our building for some of their outreach and partnering with us in a number of youth initiatives. And that's just exciting to have that partnership, if possible. Yeah,
for sure. Another way that we're looking to develop these, discipleship and community is with Kids Connection. We've heard from parents that it's, difficult to have kids in front of a screen doing the Kids Connection part at the same time as parents are on a screen doing church.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's only one screen. And so we're looking to starting in April, we're going to move our Kids Connection time to 9:15 to 9:45. Which will allow, there to be two distinct times and alleviate some of those concerns that we've been hearing from our parents and families. Additionally, our staff is working on figuring out if there's the possibility of doing a family service. So we're still trying to figure out, the ins and outs of that and what that might look like. But be on the lookout for more information on that, and feel free to, if you're interested in that, to reach out to the office. And I think Noreen's the point person on that right now, and give her some feedback and what you're looking for, and some times and dates that might work for doing something like that. It it'd probably be on a non-traditional, not Sunday morning type thing. So
yeah, which we were really excited to get, because we had surveys go out, and we were really excited that people were really interested in a family service dedicated just for families to come in. And of course, what day, what time, those are the big challenges for us right now. But what really encouraged me is just how the volunteers, the teachers, were excited about the potential of having that service. Because sometimes it's harder, you get eagerness from people wanting to do something, but you don't always have the volunteer bases. But in this case, we have volunteers who are really excited about that particular opportunity. So, stay tuned for that one. We're still working on that one. Yeah.
And then, as Sue just announced in the service so much more eloquently than I could, the gathering, a once-a-month time for us to get together, online for now, but to, you know, connect and, you know, talk with people that maybe you haven't spoken with in over a year, reacquaint, you know, meet new people, and just have that time following a service to connect and to uplift and encourage each other. And that, the first one is today, and it'll be once a month to start, I believe. And you need to sign up with the office, so please, you know, contact office@villagegreenchurch.com, and you know, if you'd like to be part of that. So,
yeah, I noticed my name on it, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get home in time to be able to go on that. So my apologies with that. But the gathering, it's just another cool idea for us. Somebody said we should do a stump the board. Chair of the board time, you know.
That's way too easy.
Well, you know, you start at an easy, you know, difficult level, and then we go up from there. Okay, that'd be good. So yeah. Now you know about this, but we don't have this in our notes. But I'm going to announce it anyway.
All right, I'm excited.
Are you excited? Okay. We have another church that's going to be meeting in our building. Okay, starting Easter Sunday at Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock, a church plant that hasn't been able to meet for the last year has been looking for a facility because the place that they rent has been closed due to COVID, et cetera, and they've been wanting to start meeting again together. So we had meetings with them, and so starting Easter Sunday, they're going to be here Sunday nights. At 5 o'clock, and they're going to try it out till at least June, if not longer, because they anticipate they'll be able to get back to their regular facility in September. But I think it's another exciting opportunity for us to help the church.
That's just excellent news. I'm glad to hear that went through.
Yeah, it's in there, and another point of encouragement. They walked into the auditorium and were overwhelmed. They just thought it was beautiful. And I know we spent a lot of money in the summer of 2019 to, you know, beautify this particular room, but they just thought it was wonderful what we had done, and they were really excited to use this facility. So it was money well spent. Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. And then just, you know, it's going along with our discipleship and community aspect as well, our Monday night studies that you've been leading, as well as we're looking at, as a church, you know, the possibility of starting a podcast, or maybe I should say more likely that it's John's looking, John would be leading that, I think. It's going to be, you know, just a different way to reach out, and, you know, the technology allows it now, and we have some of the equipment that's needed, and that's another way that we can, encourage and support our community.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody is noticing right now, but we have a whole different computer setup and camera setup. And this is the first time, you know, Phil, Aiden, and Matthew were here for a better part of the day yesterday getting all this new equipment set up. Thank you very much, guys, for doing that. So it's really cool. I don't know online if you're noticing any of those particular changes. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in my office, got a kind of a knock at the side door, and somebody showed up, and they donated a digital audio board for the auditorium. They donated it, and, you know, you get knocks at the door of a church, and you expect certain things, but I wasn't expecting a 24-channel digital board to show up, and I said, what's this, you know, what's this for, you know, you need to improve your sound, he said, and I said, well, you put your money where your mouth is, right, so that was really, so encouraging things like that have been happening, Part of the visioning meeting, you know, beyond the discipleship and community aspects, we had to look at a whole new budget. Okay, as a precursor to that, just remind everybody that all of our rental income virtually disappeared. This is probably the first time. This is the first time in the years that I've been here that we've had to depend on the congregational giving exclusively, almost exclusively, just very little rental stuff. So that's a first for this particular church, okay? And yet, there's some exciting news about our budget.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the exciting news first, because that's always what we want to hear. But we are mortgage-free. The board made the decision to pay off the rest of our mortgage in January. So, as of right now, we have no mortgage. The addition, the youth wing, is fully paid for. And that wow. is just awesome news.
That's a major wow, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Now the elders did want us to have a bowl up here and burn the. We said that's probably inappropriate right now, but at some point we might have a mortgage burning. Yeah, yeah.
So and as you said, Pastor, we are. We had to sort of look at a different. Model for our budget based on the fact that our income is so much different. And I mean we knew going in that we'd sort of made the decision to part with Link, and that was going to be part of it, but we lost a whole lot of other rental income as well. And we did have to make some cuts in some areas, which were never easy. But I would say that, we do have a budget right now that is balanced, and that, our ministry leaders have worked with and have developed with us. And I do want to say a big shout out to all of our ministry leaders throughout this who have been so good about finding ways to save and continuing on with what they've been doing in the midst of all this. And as well as our finance committee, who put together so much work on this budget, I must say a big thank you to them. We do have a balanced budget at this point. I'm going to talk a little bit more of that in a few minutes. But there are copies of the budget available through the church office, again, if you would like to see a copy of that. But we're excited by what God is going to do in this coming year, and we want to be ready and able to fund what He has for us, and yeah. we know that He will provide.
Yeah, and I know it was a bit of a shock for the board in the February meeting when we got the January report and had one of the best Januaries on record at this church.
Amen, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I, as from the board, we do want to say thank you to all of you who have continued to faithfully give. To be honest with you, I've been very surprised that through the midst of all this, our giving has not wavered and it has remained steady. And as you said, it's in fact increased in certain areas in certain months compared to our historical data. So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, amen to that. So that's really encouraging. So, as we close this off today, is there anything you want to leave with people?
Yeah, so as part of our budget, we do want to put out a request and an encouragement to all of you. We have been so encouraged by your faithful giving, and we were able to, to bring a balanced budget to based on what we're anticipating for givings and whatnot, and what rentals may come in. We're encouraged by this, this additional church that's going to be starting rent here in April. But the fact of the matter is, as we forecast down the road, our givings have remained pretty level throughout the past 4 or 5 years. At a certain amount. And we're asking is, so as we look and forecast down the road, we're anticipating some higher costs in some different areas. And rather than having to cut in the future, if we can bring our givings up a little bit, that will enable us to not have to cut and perhaps be able to, bring back up you know, some of the areas that we have cut back to previous levels. And so we're asking for those who are able, and we know not everyone is able, but an average of 10% more giving would go a long way, enable us to continue to fund and continue to minister to our church and to our body. So we're, you know, one of our elders, you know, as we were, you know, as we were struggling through our vision meeting and our budgeting part, you know, we're, you know, well, what else can we cut, and, you know, where else can we, you know, save some money? And one of our elders wisely, you know, brought up the fact that, like, you know, why don't we put the need out there to the church and see what God does, and, you know, make the need known that, you know, we're anticipating needing, you know, 10% more, and, you know, what can we do, and what, let's watch and see what God does. And I was so encouraged by that, and I believe he's right, and I'm, you know, I'm excited by what God will show us and what he will do. So I wanted to encourage you guys that way, and just, I also wanted to encourage you as well that to continue to love God, love others, and change lives. And, you know, if you're struggling, please reach out to us at the church. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a life group member. You are not alone, and we are all in this together, and we want to make that so clear. And as well, you know, if you have an awesome story of God working and God changing lives, you know, we want to hear those stories as well. So be encouraged that, you know, the church is not dead, that God is going to continue to build his church, and he is continuing to work through us here at Village Green, in our lives and in the midst of our congregation and in the midst of a pandemic. You know, he is still here and still working.
Amen. Amen. Well, Al, thank you very much for being here with us. I hope that's encouraged. I imagine it's encouraged very, very many people about the state of our church today. Do you mind closing us in prayer?
Sure. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do praise you that you are so much bigger than anything we can ever think or imagine, that nothing surprises you, and that you are working in the midst of all that we do. Lord, we just ask and pray that you continue to work with us, work in us, work through us. We know that it is nothing that we ourselves do, but it is all dependent upon you. And we ask that you continue to build this church in the midst of this community here in Westmount. We thank you for placing us here, and may we ever be faithful to what you would have us to do. Lord, we ask and pray that you would bless us this year, that we would honor you, and that your will would be done. And we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. Hope you'll join us next week as we start our Easter series about a cross. God bless you.